of the heart from its filthiness and impurities. The purification of the heart, it's the ninth chapter, the purification of the heart from its filthiness and impurities. We mentioned that in general, sins and disobedience are filth and impurity, and they must be purged from a sin, and they must be purged from a person, rather, before a person meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the way that sins and disobedience are purged from a person is by some of the scholars. They said that whoever is not burned by the fire of remorse, and he will be burned for his sins on the day of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fire, the burning of remorse and of repentance, as much as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "An-nadamu at-tawbatu." An-nadam, that remorse itself is at-tawbah, is that remorse is repentance. Remorse is repentance. And it is removed, this filth is removed from a person by the ibtila'at al-mutanawi'ah, by the various types of hardships and difficulties and tests that he is tried with while he is alive in this world. And it is removed by a person, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْحِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Indeed, good deeds do away with bad deeds. It is removed from a person by obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَالتَّدَارُكْ لِمَا فَاتْ. And a person making up for lost time by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from those affairs that they had fallen into in the past. And the person, any that is not like that in this world, then he will die with the adran and the najasat, with the filth and the najasat and the impurity of disobedience upon his soul. And this filth and this impurity, and he from the affairs that, from the strongest of affairs that remove the filth and impurity from a person, is the tawheed of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As we mentioned last week, the tawheed of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And conversely, the opposite is also the case, that the most filthy thing, that which is najas ayni, yani najasatun ayniya, which in and of itself, in its essence, is filthy to its core. And the person who has it, they are filthy to their core. And even if they were tormented in their grave and burned in the fire, abad al-abad, for an eternity, they will not be purified and purged from their filth. And that is the filth of a shirk billahi tabarak wa ta'ala. The filth of making a shirk billahi tabarak wa ta'ala. Like a dog that swims in the ocean. If it swam from one side of the Atlantic to the other side of the Atlantic, it would still be najas. The dog would still be filthy. In that condition, while Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah of his abd, ma lam yugharghir, so long as he is not encountering the gargling of death, the choking at the time of death where the soul leaves the body, if he doesn't repent before that time, and he meets Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with the najasa of a shirk and kufr, billahi tabarak wa ta'ala, and kufr and shirk are mutalaziman. And the mushrik is a kafir, and the kafir is a mushrik, umuman, in general. And if he dies as a mushrik or dies as a kafir, the same thing in reality, because the kafir, the entirety of kufr, it goes back to al-kadhib wa takdhib, to lying upon Allah or claiming that something that Allah has informed us of or revealed is a lie. And the person who does that, they do it in obedience to their self or the shaitan or their desires or so on and so forth, or their leaders. And in doing so, they have made shirk with Allah. And the kafir, by committing kufr, is making shirk. The kafir, by committing kufr, is making shirk with Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And either the partner that he has ascribed to Allah by committing his disbelief is himself, or his any leader from the disbelievers, or the likes of that. Whatever the case, a person who dies upon a shirk billah, faqad harrama Allahu alayhi al-jannah wa ma'wahu an-nar wa ma lidh-dhalimina min ansar. And Allah will forbid the paradise for him. Allah has forbidden the paradise for him. Wa ma'wahu an-nar, and his final abode is the fire, and there will be no one who can help the dhalimin against Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And nothing will be able to purge the person from his khubuth abad al-abad, for an eternity. He will be in the most filthy of destinations, the most filthy of locations, which is in the fire of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that Allah has created tuhratan. He has created as a purification for some of the muwahideen, some of the people of tawheed who die with the taint and filth of sin and disobedience upon themselves. And he has made it as a rahmah, tabarak wa ta'ala. He has made it as a mercy. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ النَّارِ لِإِذَابَةُ الْقُرُوبِ الْقَاسِيَةِ. Allah created the fire. Allah could have created the fire, because Allah is capable of all things. Allah could have created the fire after the destruction of the world and so on and so forth, before this establishing of the Day of Judgment. He could have created the fire, but Allah created the fire before we were created, to let us know that it exists and to tell us its descriptions and so on and so forth. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said Allah created the fire as a mercy, so people know it exists. And as we mentioned before, that it is a statement of the Imams of the Salaf, of the Sahaba, such as Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and others from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. وَلَا يُعْلَمُ لَهُمْ مُخَالِفٌ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. And it is not known that anyone from the Sahaba or the Tabi'een, for that matter, really differed with them in the affair, which is that the fire currently is under the earth. That the hellfire currently is under the earth. And that we know on the Day of Judgment that the oceans will be ablaze. The fuel of the fire is what? Men and stones. What happens to stone when you melt it? When you heat up stone, what happens to it? Turns to what? Turns to lava. It turns to lava. The lava in this world is what color? Red. We know that the fire is going to be black. The fire is going to be black. Scientists say, and Allah knows best, and we know that they say lava, it takes about 2,000 degrees for stone to melt and become lava. For stone to melt and become lava, it takes 2,000 degrees. They say that the harder you burn fire, the darker it is. So the least fire is the yellow, red, orangish fire. That's the least fire, to the point that Ibn Kathir said in his tafsir that if the people of the hellfire was to see that fire, they would jump into it like a person who is trying to, any a person who is ablaze jumps into the ocean, or a person who is any very hot would jump into the ocean for relief, or jump into water for relief. And if those people were to see this fire, scientists, they say, and Allah knows best the reality, it is believed that in order for fire to burn black, it has to burn at over 89,000 degrees. Over 89,000 degrees. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He created the fire as a mercy. But despite that, the majority of the creation will enter it. The majority of the creation will enter it. They had not worked for the hereafter, and they had obsessed herself with the filth of this world from kufr and shirk, and that which is less than it, from sin and disobedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the kufar in general, when the kafir commits a sin and when the Muslim commits a sin, it's two different affairs. The kafir, he commits a sin out of obstinance against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and believing that what he does is okay. Believing that what he does, that there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. That the only thing wrong with what he's doing is if somebody catches him. Only thing wrong with what he's doing is if somebody has something to say about it, and he should have been more discreet, the likes of those affairs. But when it comes to the affair of it being hated to Allah and forbidden by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he believes that he is free to do whatever he pleases. While the believer, when he commits a sin, he hates what he has done, he fears the punishment of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and he hopes for the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that make the sin that is committed by the believer any less than kufr. Less than kufr. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this, as we heard last week. He said that the believer, when he commits a sin, It's a long chapter. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that when the believer commits a sin, as regards the najasa of dhunub and ma'asi, and the filth of sin and disobedience, then it is not the same as the filth of shirk and kufr. It's not the same as the filth of shirk and kufr. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَسْتَلْزِمُ تَنْقِيسَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ Because when he commits a sin or disobedience, he is not doing it in order to belittle the lordship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَا سُوَ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ It doesn't mean that a disbeliever either, when he commits a sin, that his intention is to belittle Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But if he believes that it is permissible, if he believes that there is nothing wrong with it, and the likes of these affairs, then he has done it out of kufr. And the believer, and he doesn't do what he does, and he tanqis an rububiyyah, and he belittling the lordship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, wala su'a dhan billahi azza wa jal, and neither does he do it out of having evil thoughts about Allah, bad thoughts about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. However, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another place that, as he mentioned in his book, Zad al-Ma'ad, and he mentioned in his and Adda'u wa Dawa, that the most dangerous sin after ash-shirk is su'adhan billah. It's having bad thoughts about Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Having evil suspicions, ill suspicions about Allah. And what that means is that a person, that when they are tested with the qadr, for example, that they complain about Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and they feel as though Allah has oppressed them. Allah has wronged them if they lose a loved one. I don't deserve this, Allahu Akbar. A person who goes through anything in this world and they tell themselves, I don't deserve this, or somebody else didn't deserve something, or so on and so forth. And they say that, i'tiradan ala Allah, not because somebody else oppressed them, that they didn't deserve to be oppressed by another person, right? But that Allah decreed in His infinite wisdom, tabarak wa ta'ala, for something to happen, and then a person says, and he, that wasn't right. And he, why would God do that? The likes of these things that people say. And then, this without a doubt is from that which leads to shirk, and it leads to kufr, and it leads to a person ascribing partners with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and it leads to disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, so the believer, when he commits sin and disobedience, he doesn't do it out of belittling the lordship of Allah or su'adhan billah. But there are some sins that are committed because of su'adhan billah, and that are committed that are in violation of the rububiyyah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And from them is one of the greatest sins of the heart. One of the greatest sins of the heart that is a violation of the lordship of Allah as regards His greatness and His magnificence. And it is what? I can't hear you. A sin that a person commits that is in violation of, that opposes Allah as regards His lordship and His greatness.
Huh? If I had or did this, did that, it would have been different.
I mean, it's in that direction, but I'm looking for something more specific. Something worse than that. Kibr. Right? And al-ujub. That's why Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said about a person being astonished with himself, al-ujub, that the person who is astonished with himself is qadariyun halan. He is qadari in his behavior. Who are the qadariyah? They're the people who negated, who rejected the qadr. We believe as Ahl Sunnah that everything is created by Allah, the essences of everything, the qualities of everything, and the actions of everything are created by Allah. Every action that is committed by any human being is created by Allah for a wisdom that is known to Allah. They are the doers of their actions. But Allah is the creator of their actions, because their actions is from the jumlat al-makhluqat, is from that which is created, that which exists, everything that exists is created. And so, with that, nobody has the ability to use the qadr as a hujjah, and to use the decree of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as an evidence to say, well, Allah decreed for me to disobey Him, and also Allah would decree to burn you in the fire. Right? Because a person doesn't know the qadr until what? Until it happens. So how is a person going to use the qadr as a hujjah? Think about that statement. If a person commits a sin and then they use the qadr as a hujjah, right? They use the decree of Allah is the evidence of why they did the thing. Well, they did not know what the decree of Allah would be until they did it. And they know that the Qadr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala emanates from three attributes: from His knowledge, His power, and His wisdom. From His knowledge, His power, and His wisdom. So the wisdom of Allah is what? Putting everything in its proper place. And the epitome of knowledge and power is knowing the proper places of everything and having the power to put them in their proper place. So the wisdom of Allah is from the perfect knowledge and power of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And so the person who does that which is khabith, that which is filthy and detestable and so on and so forth, it is from the wisdom of Allah that Allah will put him in his proper place. So if a person uses the qadr as a hujjah, right? If they use the qadr as a hujjah, then in reality, they are upon the madhab of Iblis. I was born in this world. I didn't make it. It's not my fault. I can't help myself. This is just how things are. There's no way out. So on and so forth. People they come with, the word Iblis. The name Iblis. And he ablasa. And the person who has lost, the one who has lost all hope. Right? The person who loses hope, they say ablas. And this person, he has become hopeless, so on and so forth. They say ablasa as a verb, right? Iblis is the one who has lost all hope in its entirety. Misery loves company. He wants everyone to be in the fire with him. He is akhbathul akhbath. He is the most filthy of the filthy. And he wants everyone to share with him in his ultimate demise. And what will be his final destination, and so on and so forth. And so, al-kibr, wal-ujub, without a doubt, are contrary to the lordship of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that there are two reasons that people commit sins. He said in his book, Al-Fawaid, there are two reasons that people commit sins. Either because they believe that if they leave something for the sake of Allah, that Allah will, what? That Allah will replace it with something that is better. However, they know this. However, their desires overcome their intellect. Their desires overcome their intellect. They know logically that it is a fact. It is the way that the world works. That if a person leaves something for Allah, Allah will always replace it with something better. But sometimes their desires overcome their intellect. As opposed to the person who doesn't believe in his heart of hearts that if he leaves something for Allah, that Allah will truly replace it with something that is better. He said, and this is su'ad dhan billah. And this is having evil thoughts about Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So we see here how, especially the major sins that are committed with the heart, that they are things that chip away at the core of a person's faith and lead a person to al-kufr wa shirk billahi tabarak wa ta'ala. They destroy the iman of a person and they can eventually lead him out of the fold of Islam. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, al-dhunub wal ma'asi dihliz al-kufri wa shirki wa munaza'ati allahi rububiyatahu. That sin and disobedience is a corridor that leads to shirk and kufr, and stripping Allah of His lordship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the affair is tremendous. He said, but in general, the najasa of al-dhunub al-ma'asi, the filth of sin and disobedience, is not like the filth of shirk, and like the filth of kufr, because it doesn't necessitate that a person necessarily is belittling the lordship of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And it doesn't necessitate that a person has evil thoughts about Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But most people, they do what they do out of heedlessness. And then تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. And as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned about any of the believers, any when they are touched by a ta'ifu min ash-shaytan, they are touched by the inclinations of the shaytan, تَذَكَّرُوا. Person may be touched with inclinations of evil from the shaytan, they may fall to sin and disobedience, and then what? Then they remember, they come to their senses, then they can see clearly, right? So a person, when he commits sins as a Muslim, majority of situations is because he is heedless. And he knows better, but he is heedless. The scholars, they say, many people, they overcomplicate the affair of ordering the good and forbidding the evil. There are, of course, situations in ordering the good, forbidding the evil, that may be ambiguous, and it may be unclear, the severity of what a person may be doing, if a person is doing something absolutely impermissible, so on and so forth. But a majority of things that people fall into, they themselves know that what they are doing is, that's haram, that's forbidden, it's wrong. And so the role of the believer in ordering the good and the forbidden, the evil, in the majority of situations is just a friendly reminder. It's just a friendly reminder to make the person shy amongst the believers, and he's shy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to remind the person while they're in a situation of heedlessness. He said, وَلِهَذَا لَمْ يُرَتِّبِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الْعُقُوبَاتِ وَالْأَحْكَامِ مَا رَتَّبَهُ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ. For this reason, Allah has not caused the same punishments and rulings to result from sin and disobedience in general that result from a shirk. وَهَكَذَا اسْتَقَرَّتِ الشَّرِيعَةِ عَلَى أَنْ يُعْفَى أَنُهُ يُعْفَى عَنَ النَّجَاسَاتِ الْمُخَفَّفَةِ. He said, as we find in the Sharia, that lighter najasa is pardoned in a way that heavier najasa is not pardoned. And we went over this last week and mentioned the examples of it. And we mentioned the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said that the najasa of al-zina wal-liwat أَغْلَظُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمَا مِنَ النَّجَاسَاتِ, that we find that the filth of fornication, adultery, and homosexuality is أَغْلَظُ مِنْ غَيْرِهَا غَيْرِهِمَا, and it is heavier than other types of filth. It is heavier than other types of filth. مِنْ جِهَةِ أَنَّهَا تُفْسِدُ الْقَلْبِ, because of how it corrupts and destroys the heart. Because of how it corrupts and destroys.